Okay, we are up to Perek Zayin Pasuk Gimel. We are in the middle of Pasuk Gimel. Let's review the Pasuk. Shorech Agan HaSahar, your navel. These again are the descriptions of Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu here is giving praise to Klal Yisrael. We're working bottom up. We start with the lowest portion of the body, the footsteps, the soles of the feet. We go to the legs, and now we come to the. Then we went to the Chamukah Yerechayich, which is the area of the groin. So it's really three parts: the Pamayich, the legs, and then we have really two. Okay, just the pamayich and the legs, and now we come to the shorerech, the navel. Agan hasar, it's like a basin that is in the shape of a crescent of the moon. And we assume yesterday we're dealing over here, looking at it from the side. From the side, it is a in the shape of a crescent. Al yechsar hamozeg. May it not be lacking in dilution. In other words, it should not be lacking through dilution. They're going to translate this thing over here simply that it should not be lacking through dilution. It should be perfect. It should be complete. Simply, it would be translated al yechsar hamozik. The dilution should not be lacking. It should be diluted properly. It should not be too diluted. But I think we're going to translate for the moment that it should not be lacking through dilution. It should be 100% pure. Okay, we'll see. We'll come back to that in a few moments. And then the next part of the pasuk mentions the bitnech, your belly is arema sachitim. It's like a pile of wheat. Suga hedged by shoy shalim, a pile of wheat in the field. If you want to protect the wheat from rodents or from thieves, so you would expect that the pile of wheat should be surrounded with a brick wall, a concrete wall, to make sure no one comes and steals the wheat. It's not necessary. The wheat, the pile of wheat that is of great value, will be surrounded by a wall of flowers. So we learned that mitzvah. Actually, we reviewed the mitzvah as shorim very quickly. Just to get back into the theme, into the flow of things. Let's see. Pasuk Gimel mitzvah shorech tiburech your navel yiogul ba'agan ha'ogul kidmus hayareach. Your navel is round like a basin. Okay, a navel has an inside. If I'm not mistaken, today there are two techniques in how they cut the umbilical cord. Is that correct? There's a technique where they leave a cavity inside the body, and then there's a technique where it's not. Yeah, there are two different techniques. So over here, it seems to say the technique in ancient times was a cavity, the inni, right? That's what it's called, the inni. The in one, because it says here there's a basin. And the basin is like the shape of the moon. Lefisha hatibor hu b'mokem rach halachus. Since then, it goes on to say yechzer hamozik. It should not be lacking in dilution. What does that mean, lacking in dilution? Lefisha hatibor hu b'mokem rach halachus hasharashi hamezin es aguf. I guess we're simply referring to a child, a fetus in his mother's womb. So it's being fed through this umbilical cord. That's where the nourishment flows. So there's always continuous moisture. Lachen amash lo techzer boy halachus. The mozik here, he's translating to mean the liquid, the nourishment. If we look in the Mitzudos, Tziyon Hamozeg Inyon Yayin Hamuruv B'Mayim Fuloshen Yidu B'Divri Razal. So he just says it's diluted. It's a liquid wine that has been diluted through water, which makes it edible. Because in ancient times, pure wine was so potent, was so strong, it was not possible to drink. It had to be diluted with water. So we just see borrowing this term, that edible sustenance that is edible. It's readily edible. You don't have to do anything more to prepare it. Likewise, this umbilical cord is providing direct nourishment into the body of the fetus. So likewise, Klal Yisrael, we have a direct line, a connection, a pipe to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where Hashem provides us with sustenance. And we beg of Hashem that this connection should not be broken. Varehu ka'agan hazeh shlo yechsar bohayayin mazug. So your navel is like this agan, where it's not lacking any nourishment. Vanim shalhu, the mesh over here is al ha'hashpov ha'misaveves ubo shaloi tusbak v'shum zman. We make a request. Hashem here is blessing Klal Yisrael that we are permanently connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through this connection. Ubal haremis bishirer, and the remis comes to the navel. Why? Ki derech boichu hazonas havlad b'meimo, because that's how a child receives its sustenance through this connection through the umbilical cord. Next part of the pasuk, b'dechayim asakritim, your belly is like a pile of wheat. B'dnechiyah yafel me'miriach, the image here of the roses surrounding the wheat, the roses or the flowers are going to provide fragrance. It's going to provide fragrance to the wheat. Bidnech yeyofe mariach ka'agudas shivle ha'achidim, like a pile of stalks of wheat, ha'negderes b'shoshanim, that is hedged with roses or flowers, ha'malim reyach toif. V'anim shul huloymar, what is the mesh over here? Pi bitnech, the inside of your belly, you have a big belly. Your belly is overweight. you have food. You are sustained. You are satiated. Pi bidnech yisrabu kegarine aremas chitim, like a pile of wheat, and just shouldn't be bland. It should have fragrance. The kulam yiyu gidurim begidurim nechmalan. And what is the fragrance? The fragrance over here means that you should be filled with mitzvos. The wheat here is a reference, a code for good deeds, Torah mitzvos, and these Torah mitzvos will be guarded with roses, meaning you're going to add many layers of safeguards to protect yourself from being nichshol in avera. The kulam yiyu gedurim begedurim nechmadim, with precautions and fences, hagunim, beautiful fences like roses. Lebal yikosh lebedaver yisra, a person should not chas v'shalom stumble in matters of sin. So to review. To review the parish, the first parish of the Mesut of the Spasek, Shorerech Agana Soar, we're going to part of the body, the navel. The navel is the source of sustenance. We should have a continuous supply of sustenance for the Shparuchu. It should be like a basin, Hasahar, that's a crescent, that's beautiful like the shape of the moon. The Mesut really is not providing any elaboration of what the significance of the Sahar is, a basin that's like a moon. Al Yechsa HaMozeg, it should never be lacking a continuous flow of sustenance directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that does not require us to do anything in addition, anything additional to prepare it for consumption, just like wine that has already been diluted. Bidnei Charemas HaChitim, your belly, which means that your belly is a pile of wheat, which means good deeds. Toiru Mitzvos Suga Bashoy Shanim, built into your performance of mitzvos, you have added many layers of safeguards. You have takonos derabanan, takonos and various dinim derabanan, which are all there to add layers of protection, not to be nichshol in dinim deraisa. And this is something which is beautiful, like the beauty of a rose. Now let's see Rashi. Rashi shorerecha gan asahar tiburecha, your navel, agan shalmayim tzlulim sherechatzim bohem, in which you bathe. Okay, it's a bathtub. So Rashi is coming to give a little bit more elaboration. It's not just an agan, it's not just stamab, a basin, it's a bathtub. It's a bathtub which holds pure, clear water, which you bathe in. An agan, he tells us, is made typically from marble stone. It's called a sahar. Al shem shahatibur kmo nekev ogul. Al shem it's called a sar. Okay, it's called al shem shahatibur kmo nekev ogul. The tibur, the navel, is like a hole, a round hole. Moishloi, it's compared, like moshel, it's compared to ke'agan ogul, to a round basin. So he's telling us over here a little more information that a sahar is not the moon. Rashi here is not, at least in this interpretation, borrowing from the Medrash that sahar comes, sihara means the moon, like what the Mitzudas has done, but a sahar was a common bathtub. A bathtub that was used, filled with made from marble, filled with clear, pure water. And that's what our navel is compared to a large tub filled with clear water used for bathing. Now, what is the significance of this comparison? So here Rashi over here comes to elaborate. V'kilusuhu einoi me'inyan, v'kilusu hazeh, einoi me'inyan noi isha, kikilus elyon. First, we have to know this is not similar to what it said in the previous pasuk. The previous pasuk, we compared the beauty to the chaloim ma'asei yidei oman. That was the praise we had yesterday in the previous pasuk, an ornament that was crafted by an expert. That's not what it means here. Well, if he shoh elyon before shoh elyon doid mekales v'zere asi, and since previously the doida mekaleses v'zere asi, since the previous section, the previous parak, the doida, meaning the isha, praised HaKadosh Baruch Hu by saying v'zere asi, you Hashem are my friend, now Hashem reciprocates. Mekalsois oisa, Hashem reciprocates and praises her, al shema seha, praising her good deeds, loimar haguna at
l'hischa. Who's doing the praising in this last phrase here?
That's the Rashi is jumping back and forth between the Umoy Sa'olam.
Those are her friends, right?
Vezer Reu Sechel, you're right, I made a mistake. Let's take a step back. The Akilus Azainim in Noi Isha Kikilus Elion Lufish Lufi, Shoha Elion Doida Mikalesis. Previously, Shoha Elion, the previous expressions of praise, it was Doida. I'm not sure how to read that. What? The doid, but there's a
doid. When she speaks, it's the
doid,
but he is the
doid. Lefi shor before the psukim before doid, but I think it's doida. Shouldn't it be doida? Doida. She, the isha, is mikalsa.
No, it's him.
Her beloved
is praising her. Okay, her beloved is praising her, but Vizeh, her beloved is praising her. So that was what it said in the previous pasuk. In the previous pasuk, Hashem was praising her. Vizeh, so here means Reu Secha. So this pasuk, her friends. Okay, very good. So here, her friends are the one that are providing the praise to her. Nikal Sois, I saw her friends are praising her. The previous pasuk, Hashem is praising her. In this pasuk, her friends are praising her. Al shema seha loimar haguna at lehischaber imanu. You are fitting to join with us. You are fitting to join with us. The hadugma al shem lishkas hagozis. So who are the friends? Are good friends? I'm not exactly sure what this means. Maybe it means
all the nations are
the nations are you're fitting to join with us because you are of high praise. Period. The hadugma. And what is the deeper meaning of the pasuk? So here Rashi is now going into what he's going to say into the next few through the Ramaskals is the Sanhedrin. V'adugma al shem lishkas hagozis, the shorereich is the navel. This is where the navel refers to where the lishkas hagozis, where the Sanhedrin hagadilla sits.
Not the crescent shape.
Not right. Hayosh, so it is the crescent shape because the crescent.
No, it's the round.
That was the other opinion that it was a crescent. Like here, he's saying the location is in the. Is in the
center of the world.
The center of the world.
V'adugma al shem lishkas hagos hayoshedes b'tibur ha'aretz, that sits in the center of the world. Okay, let's go further. Al yechzer hamozek lo yichlem yisham mashke, liquid should not cease from this location. Rotzo loymar lo yichlev lo yivsoik misham shum divrei hoira, because we know that water is compared to Torah, hoy kol tzame luchu lemayim. So sharereich, let's review. So sharereich means your navel. This the lishkas hagozis, agan hasahar, is compared to a basin that is round. A basin or sahar is a basin of water, a large basin of water. And the reason why we're calling it water is because hoy kol tzame luchu lemayim. It's the place of hoyra of Torah. Al yechzer hamozeg, it should not be lacking in its dilution. The water should not be lacking because this is the bracha that Hashem is giving us. Then the next part of the pasuk says bidnei charema sachitim shehakol tzrichim lo. Your belly is like a pile of wheat. Hakol tzrichim lemorei chita. L'mari chatia. This is the Gemara in the end of Masechta Horiyos, where the Gemara has a machlokes: is it better to be an Amkon or is it better to be a Sinai, a Baki? And the Gemara concludes: everyone needs hakol tzrichim l'mari chatia. That as far as leadership goes, it's better to select a person who knows everything over a person who has specialties in only certain areas, but knows those areas very, very deeply. You need a person that's shoveh l'chol nefesh.
You need this also because the guy would be, why would the guy praise the Jews for having a Sanhedrin?
So they recognize
the existence of the world
depends upon Klal Yisrael. Everyone needs Klal Yisrael. Then when it says here, Suga b'shoy shanim, Gidura u'misuyeges b'gidrei shoy shanim. Now what does that mean? So Rashi here says, Dailo b'geder kal. This is the Medrash. This is a general description of the midos of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, in order to be observant of the mitzvot, they don't need an armed guard. They don't need someone to harm them, to warn them not to do an Avera. Even the smallest hint is enough to remind them not to do an Avera. And Rashi gives two examples. An example of Arayos, an example of Gezel. The two things which Nafshoy Shel Odom Mach the two things which a person's neshama enjoys very much. Food and noshim. These things are the two great nisyonos of a person. So here we go. Gedur misugeres begeder shoshanim. Dai lo begeder kal, a very small fence. The fence need not be a brick wall. The fence even can be a flower. V'ein echad mikem poiretz bo, and a person is not going to breach the fence. For example, the kulikones to enter. For example, harichasa nichnas l'chupa, a chasim gets married. Liboy miga agas l'chupa, ulechibas chasunov. His heart is yearning. His heart is filled with his hormones are elevated. Okay, he has a taiva to be with his kala, with his new kala that he has been longing for a long time. He now comes into a private area where he wants to be with her in an intimate way. And Omrolo, she says to him, "My chasam, I have bad news to tell you. I am a nida, or I'm even a suffic nida. I've seen a small, teeny amount of blood like a mustard seed." So what does this man do? No one is watching. No one will know the difference. If he wants, you can tell his kala, "Listen, I'm a Talmud Chacham. A tipas chardel is nothing. You're not a nida. There's nothing to worry about. Enough to worry about." I guess this goes back in ancient times. In ancient times, probably the women didn't know very much about the halakas. They totally relied upon their husband. Today, the women probably know more than the men. But in ancient times, she says to him, "Tipas dam." So what does he do? He turns his face to the other side, and he stays away. Why? Did a snake bite him? Did someone come and poison him? A nachash did not bite, a scorpion did not bite him, and yet he stays away from his kala, even though the taiva is off the charts. So you see over here, that's what it means. Huga b'shoshanim. They will not breach the barrier, even if the barrier is lightweight. It's nothing more than a fence of flowers that's enough to deter a person from doing an avera, even an avera for which a person has a very strong yetzahara. And now he gives a second example. Harei shehu oiver b'derech, a person is going on the road. Ro b'choyos b'roshe hateina. He sees ripened figs on the top of the tree, of the fig tree. Poshat yodei litol, he assumes this hefker. He's on the road. These trees are hefker. He takes about the pluck of a fig. Poshat yodei litol, oimim lo. And someone says, "Buddy, this fig is not ownerless. This fig belongs to a Jew. Oimim lo, shel Yisrael hu. It belongs to a Jew. Don't take it, it's Gezel." Now no one's stopping him. The owner is not here. He's traveling on the road. There's no way in the world that the owner will be able to come and find him and demand from him to pay him for the theft because it's here out in the open. Yet the fact that he has been informed that this tree is not ownerless, it belongs to a person who moshech yodoy b'bnei ha-Gezel. So here he has given for us Rashi, harei suga b'shoy shanim. All Klal Yisrael needs is a fence of flowers, even though offense of flowers is meaningless, it does not all provide any physical barrier because you can just easily step over it. The reminder is enough to prevent a person from being nichshol in an avera. And this is the beauty of Klal Yisrael. Suga b'shoishim l'chitim. The chitim is the hakol tzrichim. So let's review according to Rashi. Let's take a step back. According to Rashi, the hasar shareich agan hasar, your navel is like a basin of water, a basin that's made from marble, used for bathing. This is a code for the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin is the center of the world. They are the navel. They are a basin of mayim. Mayim hokol koi kol tzami luchu lamayim al yechzer hamozek, and they never be lacking with water. Hoira should always go forth from that location. Bitnech aremas chitim. Your belly is like a pile of wheat. Hakol tzrichim lemore chatya. The entire world needs the base hamigdash, and that's why Rav Zemeir explained very well. That's why this pasuk over here is a reference to the umois ha'olam. The umois ha'olam, which are here called the re'oi secher, her friends are giving praise to this isha. Everyone in the entire world needs the blessing of Klal Yisrael, of the Anshe, of the Sanhedrin that sits in the Lishka Sagozes. And Suga Bashoy Shanim, this is a general praise to Klal Yisrael, even if they only have the smallest reminder that what they're about to do is an Avera, like a rose, that is enough to prevent them from being nichshol in the sin. Okay, now along these lines, that this Ipas, according to Rashi, refers to the Lishkas HaGazes and the Sanhedrin, there are many more Midrashim. One of the Midrashim tells us that Al Yechzer HaMozek, let's go back to what it said in the Mitzudos, that Mozek means dilution. So what does it mean over here that the Sanhedrin that's sitting in the Lishka Sagozes should not be lacking in dilution? There was such a custom that there was always at least 23 people, 20 or 20, what was it? I've got the number. There was always a significant number of people, a third or even a fourth of the members of the Sanhedrin, always in shifts inside the Lishka Sagozes. That was the tradition. In other words, they never adjourned. They always had to be on duty 24/7. The members.
You don't do din at night,
but they should be studying Torah. There should be people there representing. It's an amazing thing. You don't think of it like that. Today, you know, in the United States, the Supreme Court, I don't know, is probably on vacation more than they're in session. How often are they? Every day, oh, they are now on vacation. Everyone's on vacation. There's always a vacation. Congress is always on vacation. The whole year, they're campaigning. How often are they there? Are they passing laws and writing legislation? But in the Beis HaMikdash, there was a demand that there always be at least a third of the members of Sanhedrin sitting in the Lishka Sagazis, just like wine when it's diluted, you can dilute pure wine. So the different madregos of how much you can dilute, how many parts water, three parts water, one part wine, or two parts water, one part wine, there are different degrees of dilution, but you're not allowed to go below a certain threshold. Once you go below a certain threshold, it's no longer called halachically wine, and you can't make a boy priagofen. Likewise, the Medrash says in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Lishka Sagozes, there were 70 members. It could be there were more than 70 members, because you always had to keep this number going. You always had to keep the number, a certain critical mass, a certain critical number, whatever that number was. And that comes from this very pasuk that we interpret in reference to the Sanhedrin, the Shorech Hagan Asar, Al Yechzar HaMozek. Be careful that the dilution does not go below the threshold. 24/7, even 4 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, there had to be a member of the Sanhedrin there. I read recently there was a story, certain God, I don't know, it was Rav Chaim, one of the Brisker Ravs, I don't remember what it was, is where he asked someone. He went to the Rav in the middle of the night. I don't know, there were two Gedolim, not so long ago this was. This is only maybe 100 years ago. And the Rav was awake and he was learning. And then the Rav said to the person, I don't understand, you're coming here to me in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the night. Don't you think it's a little bit disrespectful to come here at 3 o'clock in the night? So the person says, I never would imagine that a Rav would be sleeping at this time. My hasagas of Rabbanim is that
on the Shabbos afternoon.
Shena b'Shabbos Tainuk.
Came in after the Rabbi, and he had a shayla in the Gemara, and he said, from that on,
there are many different stories. The Baal HaBatim have very big hasagas that the Rabbanim, they're not supposed to sleep. They don't need money to survive for Parnasa. They live Lamala. They live, Rabbanim live Lamala Midera Chateva.
If you learn in the middle of the night, you really absorb it.
Yeah? Not by me.
It's quiet.
It's quiet, okay? No distractions.
They just did a study. They found that early morning people have a better retention than the night people.
Okay, I think there are a lot of variables. If people are not busy during the day, so then they're able to stay awake at night. But if you're very busy during the day, you're very occupied during the day, I don't know, it comes late at night, you just turn off like a light. Okay, for each his own. But in any event, so this is a fascinating thing. I never heard this before. Such a medrash is that there was always a requirement in the Beis HaMikdash 24/7 for there to be a significant number of members of the Sanhedrin sitting in the Lishkas HaGozes. For what purpose? Maybe to answer Shilas. Okay, obviously they didn't pass in Dinei Torah. There's a difference between a Din Torah, and passing a Shilah. And I guess also it's a Bezoin for Klal Yisrael. They are, you know, this is the Misham Yotzo Horoh for Klal Yisrael. There should be Talmidei Chachamim in the Beis HaMikdash. And it comes from this Pasuk. It's the Shorei Chagan HaSar Al Yechzer HaMozek. Al Yechzer HaMozek, there's a requirement that it never be fully diluted. There will always be people sitting there in the Beis HaMikdash giving out Chayruah for Klal Yisrael. Possibly, maybe for eight service or Shia.
It's just that anyone who
was respected, there's no question about it. There's no question they were reckoned with. Absolutely. Okay. Now, going just drawing from the Mitzudos, the Hasar is a moon. A moon is a crescent. Simply, I mean, unless it's a full moon, but most of the month, the moon is not complete, and that also fits very well with the simple interpretation of the Medrash, is that this pasuk refers to the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin sat chatzei agula, so that each member can see the others. This is exactly the way they sat in the Sanhedrin. It was like a bowl. Agan Hasahar, like you mentioned yesterday, it was looking at a bowl from the side. So a bowl is in a crescent, and that is how they sat in the Sanhedrin. There's another medrash that says Agan comes from Lashon of Megin. Megin Hagonah, protection. That in the Zuchus, this is a very common theme, that in the Zuchus of Talmud Torah, that protects the world from Poronos. And being that the Sanhedrin, they represent the elite, Talmidei Chachamim, the quality of protection that they bring to the world is on a different level. So therefore, Shorereich, your navel, which is a code word for the Sanhedrin, is Agan, is the ultimate source of protection for Klal Yisrael. Okay, it's also interesting that Shorereich is the same letters as Sorer. Sorara. Lihios kol ish Sorer biveso. Each man shall be in charge of his house. So it's not a coincidence that the word Shorereich on the one hand means a navel, but also represents the theme of the ultimate form of authority. Each man shall be an authority in his home. The Sanhedrin, they serve as the ultimate authority for Klal Yisrael. Okay, let's see the Targum now on Pasuk Gimel. Targum Vereish Misiftach Di. So here he says that the Shorereich, he does not mention the Sanhedrin, because we have to remember over here that according to the parish of the Targum, there's a timeline, and the timeline, not like Rashi, is much further down the road. It's already during the time of Golos. We've already come to the time of the Churban Hasheni, according to the Targum, in the timeline we're winding down. It's already Perek Zayin, only 8 Perakim. It's already in the timeline. We're already past the time of the Churban Hasheni. So who then is left? Who now has become the authority of Klal Yisrael? The Reish Misifta, like Suda v'Nahardo, Rav and Shmuel. They are the Reish Misiftach, the head of your yeshiva. Di in whose suchus, di vis husech misparnesin kol olma. The entire world is is sustained. So I guess that's what it means, agan hasahar, agan hechma, just like the uvra misparnese min pirose bimei ayodime, just like a child in uber is sustained from the navel, the umbilical cord in his mother's stomach. Bohig b'oraisa, these talmidei chachamim, they shine in the study of Torah. Ku'ugna d'sihara, so here he explains like a agan hasar, like a basin that shines. B'meisvei, let's see, just go further. B'meisvei, when they come. B'meisvei, when they come. Now he describes over here the role of this, of the role of the rabbanon, of the mesifta. Number one, B'meisvei, when they come l'dako'o u'lisalva, when they come to declare tohar and tamei, what do you go to the Beis Medrash for psak halacha, to know is this item tohar or is it tamei? L'zako'o u'lichayava, to go to them to determine the person is patur chayif. V'lochashim piskami araisa todera mipumei. Now here he says al yechsar hamozeg means it should not be lacking in their piske halacha. Should not be lacking the piskami, the words of araisa to todera continuously mipumei heichma, just like the lo chasrin mo dinara rabba dinafek me'eden. Now here he goes something off, really off the charts. Just like it's not lacking the water of the river that comes forth from Eden, unahar yoytzei me'eden al yechsar hamozek. Hamozek itent is that there is a river in Eden which is diluted. It breaks off. Shami pared v'hoyol liarbor roshim. That it translates as a dilution. You have one river, one major river. When you take a river and you break it into four parts, you are diluting the intensity of the river, and therefore the Torah that comes forth from this body, this mesifta, shall not be diluted, just like the nor that's located in Eden. Just like it's not diluted, it's not lacking. The Nara Rabba Nafik me Aden, Vishiv, then he goes further, Vishivin Hakimin Misacharin Yosei Ki Idar Sigalgal, and the 70 members of the Sanhedrin, they sit around in a circle. The Oitzrehoin Molyon and their storage houses, their treasures, Molyon Min Masar Kucha Vinidra Unidavta. Now their treasure houses are filled with holy miser. We'll get to that in a moment. Vinidra Unidavta, donations that people give to the members of the Sanhedrin. People make nidavas. People all over the world, they make a nidavah to give money to the people who the rabbanim that sit in the mesifta. The sayigu lohoin, that was brought to them by whom? By Ezra Kahana, Ezra the Kohen, Uzerubavel, and Zerubbabel, who was the acting Melech of the Bayis Sheni, the Yeshua Unechemia, or Mordechai Bilshon, Anshe Kinishto Rab, so the members of the Knesset Sagdola, the Mesilin, which are compared Levardin, these people are compared to Rose, that's the Shugash Vashoy Shanim, begin Dihei Lohon Chelu Lemesak Beraiso Yom of Laila, and the reason why they are given these gifts is so they should have koyach to be oisek in Torah, the study of Torah day and night. In other words, we're saying over here is that the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, which include Mordechai Bilshon, Nehemiah, Ezra the Kohen, and Yeshua, they have issued a decree that people in Klal Yisrael should give donations to the Talmidei Chachamim so that they should have koyach to be oisek in the study of Torah. Now, before we go, what's very curious about this targum, which he brings out here in the Sefer Sodasi HaMedinos, is it says here that they were masachin to give masar kudsha, to give holy miser. And what in the world does that mean? We don't find anywhere that a Yisrael is entitled to take Meiser. Meiser goes to the Levi. Truma goes to the Kohen, Ma'aser Rishon goes to the Levi, and Ma'aser Sheni goes, you take up yourself, you bring up yourself, and you eat it in Yerushalayim. Here it says that Ezra, Nehemiah, and Zerubbabel, and Yeshua, Mordechai Bilshon were misakin that the Talmidei Chachamim during the time of the Bayis Sheni, they should receive money from, they should receive Meiser, holy Meiser, in addition to Nidolim and Nidavos. In order to sustain them, they should have be able to sit and have koyach to learn Torah. So you want to say that's one possibility in a Chanami, that's one suggestion, that's one possibility. The other possibility, Rabbi Vayevsky, you mentioned this to me before from the Abarbanel, and Rav Palm, he speaks about this quite often, that's referring to Ma'aser Sheni. The purpose of Ma'aser Sheni was, according to the Abarbanel and others, was to provide Koilalim in Eretz Yisrael. Adopt the Koilal. The first adopt the Koilal was, Hashem's adopt the Koilal was Ma'aser Sheni. Because what is Ma'aser Sheni? You have to bring up your fruits in the first, second, and fourth and fifth year. You have to bring up the Ma'aser Sheni into Yerushalayim, and you cannot possibly have enough time to be there to eat all of your Ma'aser Sheni. If you're a person who's a wealthy person, you have a lot of Ma'aser Sheni, the only place you can eat is in Yerushalayim. But how long can I stay in Yerushalayim? I have business. I have to go back to the other parts of Eretz Yisrael or the Chutz La'aretz. So what happened? What happened was you donated it to people who would live there. In other words, you will don't have to work. Do not worry. You do not have to work. And you can sit and learn in Koilel all of this time and support yourself from my Ma'aser Sheni. So indeed, Ma'aser Sheni is holy. And it was being used here to support, it says explicitly here in the Targum, that this holy Ma'aser is being used to support Talmidei Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael. This is built upon the Yisoid of the Abarbanel. I mean, the Abarbanel came of course much later, but the Abarbanel Allah explains this concept, and that's exactly what the Hashem's Kavan was in the Mitzvah of Ma'aser Sheni, because typically you cannot yourself eat all of your Ma'aser Sheni. You had to go and leave it there in your Yerushalayim and let people use it. Who would you let use it? People that would be learned Oisik in the study of Torah. Okay, now there's another very big chiddush, and this is a controversial chiddush he discusses, is that when we know that Ezra HaKoyim gave a knas to the Levim, he took away from the Levim Ma'aser Rishon as a punishment for not taking advantage of the directive of Koresh to come to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash. So who got the Ma'aser Rishon instead of the Levim? So typically we are of the understanding that it went to the Kohanim. Ma'aser Levi is meant to go to the Levim. The Levim refused, most of them, to return to the Beis Hamikdash to assist in Shira and the Avoda. So Ezra punished, okay, Mikanu Lahaba, Levim are no longer getting Ma'aser Rishon. The Ma'aser Rishon will go to the Kohanim. How are you allowed to give Ma'aser Rishon to the Kohanim? The answer is because a Kohen is also a Levi. A Kohen is a Levi plus. So there's no technical violation. They all come from Sheva Levi to give Ma'aser Rishon to the Kohanim. Others want to say that was not his punishment. It's a very big chiddush. He punished, according to some opinions, Ma'aser Rishon does not have an inherent kedusha. Truma has an inherent kedusha. If you eat truma, if a zor eats truma, there's a chiyuv misa b'dei shamayim. But Ma'aser Rishon is just mamon balam. There's no kedusha. It's money that has to be given to a levi, but it has no kedusha. If a zor, if a yisrael would accidentally eat Ma'aser Rishon, he's not chayiv misa b'dei shamayim. He's not chayiv karis. He's not chayiv lo sasei. He's chayiv gezela. When Ezra punished the Levim, he gave their Ma'aser Rishon, midin of Hefker, Bezin Hefker, it should be given to Talmidei Chachamim, not to Kohanim. This is a very big chiddush. Such a chiddush to say such a thing, because it's not so it's mashma the psukim, that he punished the Levim, that the Ma'aser Rishon should be given to Talmidei Chachamim. And the support to this idea is this very Targum.
Because this is a very positive Targum. You're saying he's making it into a negative, that he punished Levi.
Well, it doesn't say here that they were punished. Huh? It just says something very curious. It says over here, read the words of Targum. Targum over here says that what happened,
they decided to
fill up, the Sanhedrin, they sat Sagalgal, They sat in a circle. Okay, they sat in a circle in the Agan Hasahar. Okay, Hasagar is the moon. It's a circle. The Oitzrei Hoin Molion and the storage houses of the Sanhedrin, the Talmidei Chachamim, Molion was filled min Masar Kutcha. What? Masar Kutcha, holy Meiser, which means we're dealing with biblical Meiser. If it would omit those words and would just say, the Nidra Unidavta, then we can make sense. You give a Nidra Unidavta, you give gifts to Talmidei Chachamim. But what's this over this holy Meiser? So we have three answers.
You're giving a Nidra Unidavta, and you're giving it, your Nidra, I'm giving money to this yeshiva, it's holy money.
The Targum does not throw around words.
You're saying the mice was what Mordechai was massacred. They were massacred that the Neder and the Dovers that people gave, they gave to support Torah. That's what he said.
Okay.
This was holy
Meiser. The Targum typically.
Today, if I'm not mistaken, when you give a Rebbe geld,
yeah.
you say it's holy Meiser.
Yes, you can use those words? I don't know. The Targum typically does not throw around these words. The fact that he threw around these words, Maisa the Kutcha, indicates that we're dealing with something on a biblical nature. Biblical nature, we don't find giving Yisra, we don't find anywhere in the Torah.
The Levim were sitting in the Levim de Torah.
That was Kohanim were Levim de Torah. Kohanim. Kohanim also. But here there's the Bayis Sheni. The Bayis Sheni, we have a Sanhedrin from the Anshek, the Lishka Sagoz. The Lishka Sagoz is clear. There's no requirement that you be a Kohen or a Levi sitting in the Lishka Sagoz. The Lishka Sagoz were typically Yisraelim, and it says here they are receiving the Eitosem and Molyan Masa Kutcha. If you want to take the word Kutcha literally, that it means holy Masa, on a biblical level, we don't find any such thing in the Torah. There is Chuma, there is Maiser Rishon, there is Chumas Maiser, there is Maiser Sheni. We don't find anywhere that you're giving ma'aser to Talmidei Chachamim sitting in the Lishka Sagozes. So the answer is either this is the deeper meaning of ma'aser ani, that these Talmidei Chachamim were poor, which is not a nice thing to say. You want to go say the Talmidei Chachamim were poor, there's a halacha that you're supposed to megadleyu, you're supposed to provide them with a nice salary. So you're saying that you're going to give the Sanhedrin, you're giving them ma'aser ani, that's a zilzel, but maybe that's exactly what it means. So that's the chiddush. Or the other idea, which is very common, that that's exactly the purpose of Meiser Sheni. Meiser Sheni is certainly kutcha, it's certainly holy, and the purpose of Meiser Sheni was to support people sitting and learning, because you, the Baal HaBayis, cannot possibly eat all of your Meiser Sheni in Yerushalayim on the three short times a year when you come to the Oyel LeRegel. Or we have this amazing Kiddush, this was all part of the Knas of Ezra HaSofer. He took away the Meiser Rishon from the Levi and he gave it to the Talmidei Chacham. That's not what you typically hear. You typically hear he took away from the Levi and he gave it to the Kohanim. And you're allowed to do that because Ma'aser Levi is not Kodesh. Ma'aser Levi is Mamon HaShevet. And we didn't Hefker, Bezin Hefker. You can take away money and redirect to another purpose. And here it seems to say that it was given partially at least to the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. Okay, so this is the third interpretation. So the bottom line of this, so we have over here, he says, this is the recap of according to Targum, he says that some interesting things is that he makes a reference to the Gan Eden. Okay, this is really, really strange. Lechoshin Moy, Dinara, the water of the river Rabba, the Nothik Me'eden from Eden. Just like the water that comes out of Gan Eden is not diluted, it's pure water, so too the Torah that comes forth from the Lishka Sagozes should be pure and should not be lacking, nothing should be lost. Okay, let's now go to the next Pasuk. Pasuk Dalet Shnei, Shadayach Keshnei, Aforim, Ta'amei Tzivya. Your two breasts are like two Aforim. Two Aforim is a child of a deer. There's a Tzvi. And the baby of a Tzvi is called an Afar. Ayin Pei Resh. And we learned before, we had this, I think, at least twice before, that it was very common for deer, for a Tzviya, to give birth to twins. It's more common than not that it should give birth to twins. And that's why it says here too. And they are beautiful. Now, the question over here, let's see first the Metzudos. Okay, the number of things here in the Metzudos says, Pasuk Dalet. Pasuk Dalet Shnei Shadayich Dadayich Dadayich, your bosom, Yishu Zemze. So he makes the purpose of saying that they are identical. Vehema Yiyu Kishnei Yalde Tzviya, they are like the two children of a Tzviya, Shenoldu Toyamim, which are born, Shehema Bishivigam, which are identical. V'anim shalchu, now here is a very novel interpretation of the Metzudos David, that the Shnei Shadaych Malutu who? Al HaMelech V'Koyhein Gadol. Okay, these are the two major leaders of Klal Yisrael, the Melech and the Kohen Gadol. HaMinikim U'Mashpiyim, they nurse Klal Yisrael through their leadership. Toivas HaMelech B'Mulchamtoi, the good of the king, the success of the king is in how he conducts wars. The Kohen Gadol B'Avodosoi, in how he conducts the spiritual welfare of Klal Yisrael. V'Amar SheYishru B'Gedula V'Yu Maskimim V'Nishmoim Ze L'Zeh Kireyim Ahuvim, that the two shall be in love with each other like two good friends. And this is a very interesting approach, because is it really true? There's a very big debate, who really has more power? Who has more power, the Melech or the Kohen Gadol? So seemingly, it's the Melech. Okay, seemingly you can find source in Chazal that the Melech is a Kohen Gadol plus to some degree, because the Melech, because the Kohen Gadol also has, the Melech also has to be a very big Talmud Chacham. In fact, it is the Melech that has a requirement that he should have with him a Sefer Torah at all times. The Chasav Leis Mishnas, he has to have on his side a Sefer Torah, and he has to read from the Sefer Torah continuously. There is no such halacha that a Kohen Gadol has to have a Sefer Torah at his side all times. So that and the Melech, in addition to having the Sefer Torah with him all times, also has to be knowledgeable of world affairs. He has to be ma'uruf, has to be knowledgeable of what's going on in the world in order to lead the world, lead Klal Yisrael, and for that matter, the entire world in secular affairs. So it would appear, you can make the argument, which many do, is that the Melech is on a higher madrega than the Kohen Gadol. And look at David. Who was the Kohen Gadol during the time, during the time of David, Eviasar? We hear more about David than we hear about, you get the impression, David is the one who built the Beis HaMikdash. David, from David we learned Tshuva. David has brought to Klal Yisrael, he gave this Tehillim. There, you could make a very strong argument that the leadership of the Kohen Gadol is even, of the Melech is even greater than the leadership of the Kohen Gadol. Yet, maybe some will argue just the opposite. You can argue that no, the Kohen Gadol is greater than the Melech, because it is only the Kohen Gadol that goes Lefnai V'Lefnim. He's privy to all the great secrets of the world, so maybe he's on a higher level. If the Melech wants to go to war, to whom does the Melech need to consult with? He needs to get the permission of the Kohen Gadol, who will be shof from the Udim V'Tumim. So the bottom line is, it's not the decision of the Melech to go to war, the Gemara says. The decision to go to war, to take a life, really goes back to the Kohen Gadol. So you can argue back and forth, who really, what?
When there was no judge,
the Melech is the Shofet, correct. The Melech is the chief Shofet, that's correct. It's not. So you can argue back and forth, and there is a lot of discussion about this, is that who's really in charge of Klal Yisrael? Who really is the executive director, the one that makes...
Can the
Melech depose the Kohen Gadol? I don't know.
In time of David, wasn't there a switchover from one family to another family?
Yes, but the Kodesh Baruch Hu told Eli that. Kodesh Baruch Hu told Eli already.
Eli was the Kohen Gadol.
Eli, no, he's the son of Sodom, the time of Shlomo.
Okay, so you can argue this. He's saying here, the Mitzudas here is saying over here, is he makes a point in saying they are twins. Their power is equal. The balance of power between these two parties, this is a chiddush, because not everyone says this, not everyone goes with this approach. The Shnei Shodayich Kishnei Ofarim Ta'amei Tzivya, they're twins. The Mitzudah says, the Melech V'Kohen Gadol, the balance of power between these two are 100% equal. Rashi steers clear from this approach. Rashi says, Shnei Shodayich, the Shnei Shodayich is Shtei Haluchos. The two Shodayich are the two tablets. The Luchos Habris. They're twins. Now they're twins, that means that the one tablet is Bin Adam Lamakoyim, and the second tablet is Dovrachet. Okay, oh, you're right. He says that I didn't pray right. Dovrachet, the Melech of the Kohen God. Okay, but the first interpretation is the two Luchos is Bin Adam Lamakoyim, Bin Adam Lachadero. Targum, Pasuk Dalit. Targum Shnei Shadaych Train.
Also, Melech
of the Kohen God. Right, it says both. Correct. Now the Targum says we're dealing with the times of Mashiach. We're dealing with the two types of Mashiach. Train Parikayich, your two redeemers. The Asidin Limifrikich that are going to redeem you in the future. These are the Shnei Yodayich, Shnei Shodayich, Mashiach Bar David, and Mashiach Bar Ephraim. Mashiach Ben David, Mashiach Ben Yosef. Damien, who are they comparable to? They are Kishnei Ofarim. The Ofarim here refers to L'Moshe V'Aaron. Moshe V'Aaron are the two Ofarim, who are B'nei Yocheved, Dimsilin, which are compared to L'Tre'i Ur Zeilin, which are compared to two children of a Tzviya, Gzuntait, T'Yoimei Tavya, which are the twins of a Tzviya, of a female deer. So here we're dealing with the coming of Mashiach, Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef. That's also a very big chiddush, because many of us, I think we get the impression, is that Mashiach ben Yosef is tofel, is subordinate to Mashiach ben David. That at least is the impression you get. It's going to be a what? That's the conventional thing, right? First is going to be the preparation. Mashiach ben Yosef is going to come, and he's going to get everything ready. He's going to set the political stage just right, and then he's going to die, according to Chazal, and they're going to be. Then will come Mashiach ben David. So Mashiach ben David is going to be much greater than Mashiach ben Yosef. That's not what the Targum says. The Targum says they are equal. Equal, 100% equal. Okay, I saw a Jewish Shnei Shnach. These two things are contradictory. The contradictory is that a Shodayich, the Shodayim, are parts of the body which provide, which give. They provide sustenance. The Ofarim, these are takers. Takers, these are creatures which are helpless. And if someone does not come, the mother, the Tzviyah, does not come and care for these creatures, they're going to perish. So how could it say that the Shnei Shodayich are like the Shnei Ofarim? They're complete opposites. The Shnei Shodayich are givers, and the Ofarim are takers. The answer is, Umi Talmidai Yoyser Mikulam. Mikol Mulamdai Hiskalti, Umi Talmidai Umi Chaverai Yoyser, Umi Talmidai, what is it? Umi Talmidai Yoyser. That from students you learn the most. You learn the most from students. So here it's coming to Lutos is that the Shadayich only are Shadayich because there are Afarim. They're two inseparable parts of one whole. If there are no children to nurse, then the nature, human nature, when the body stops producing milk. And that's why these two things are going hand in hand. Okay, the more that Klal Yisrael wants to nurse, the more the leaders will have the siyata shmaya to provide. Let's go to normal pasuk quickly. Pasuk hey is sabarich kamid l'hashen. Now again, we're going up higher on the body. We're going up higher on the body. Your neck is going to be like kamid, like a towel of shein of ivory. Einayich brechos b'cheshbon. Your eyes are. Suntide are like springs in Cheshbon. Cheshbon is a city. Oig Melech Cheshbon. This was a city that was given to Reuben. Reuben was the one shaved. Reuben was given the city of Cheshbon, and ultimately I saw some here written some history of Cheshbon. Cheshbon did not remain in Jewish hands for very long. Cheshbon was an exquisitely beautiful city according to tradition, and that's why Oig Melech Cheshbon was the king of this city. Only he had the power to conquer the city. It was given to Reuven when they conquered Og Melech HaBashan. Moshe put Reuven, God, and Chat Yishev Menashe at Eve HaYarden, but very quickly they lost control of the city. It was taken by Moav. Moav once again regained control of the city of Cheshbon, but it was a beautiful city. There were streams in Cheshbon that were second to none. Al Shar Bas Rabim, by the gate in public. We'll come to that in a moment. Apech. Apech, we're going to see soon, is a very big discussion. What is the meaning of Apech? Either it means your forehead or it means your nose. It's Kenigdal HaLevanon, like a tower in Levanon. Soife, that looks out at Pnei Damosek at Damascus. From there you're able to see Pnei Damosek. Let's see, Mitzvot explains a lot of these things in much more great detail. Pasuket, Savareich. Your neck is stretched forth with beauty, it's perfectly straight, and it is perfectly clean, like ivory. Like a tower that's made from the shein hapil, the ivory of an elephant. Ivory tower. It's perfectly straight and it glistens clear. Again, we're going up in the body, legs, the soles of the feet, the legs, the navel, the stomach. Now we're coming to then the shadaich, the chest, and then we come to the neck. So here, this is again going higher and higher. What is this? What is the nimshul? What is the tzavarech? This refers to the Beis Hamikdash. It is the migdal. It is the stronghold of Klal Yisrael. Kitzavar hazeh shul chizek adam. The neck is the strength of the person. Sheyamoid al har gavaya. Tulul on a tal, tulul comes from the word tal, on a mountain, a very high exalted mountain. It's built with the best building materials. Misham yavai mechilas achita uvliban ha'avon, mechilas achit uvliban ha'avon, and from there comes forth the forgiveness of sin and the purification of avon. The reason why it's called an ivory tower, ivory, white, because from there comes forth forgiveness for Klal Yisrael, and the Klal Yisrael achieves cleanliness like the whiteness of the shein of the peel. A naich. Now, of course, everyone knows that Yosef cried on the neck of Binyamin, and Binyamin cried on the neck of Yosef, because the neck, what were they crying for? Rashi says, Yosef cried on the neck of Binyamin for the two Bate Mikdashos, and Binyamin cried on the neck of Yosef for the Mishkan Shiloi. Why the neck? Because the neck, like it says over here in this pasuk over here, the neck represents the Beis HaMikdash. Why is the neck a reference to the Beis HaMikdash? Because just like the neck joins the head and the body. The head represents spirituality. The body represents Gashmias. And so too the Beis HaMikdash is the chibur between the upper worlds and the lower world. The upper world is spirituality. The lower world is this world. The Beis HaMikdash is the place where that connection comes, is that connection where the channel between these two worlds are achieved. Yeah.
You may seem to be a gross, and that Shnei Shadayach is the Harabayis and the Chil.
So we're going up higher. The Shnei Shnach is the Har HaBayis and the Chel, and now we're coming. That's where they can go until, and now we're coming to the Tzavarech, is the actual Azara itself inside. We're going. Fits in the Gra. Very good. The Gra for that. Next words of the Mitzudos. Einaych, your eyes, Brechas Cheshbon. Your eyes are like pools in Cheshbon. Einaych Tehiena Zakus Ubihirois. Your eyes are perfectly clear, beautiful eyes. Kimo habrechos shabir cheshbon, like the brechos in the city of Cheshbon, Eitzel near Hashar Shashmo Bas Rabim, near the gate, near the gate, Eitzel Hashar Shashmo Bas Rabim, near the gate that is called the Shar Bas Rabim. There is a gate in Cheshbon that is called Bas Rabim, and there you will find pools of water, and the beauty, the clarity, the quality of these pools are second to none. And here, Klal Yisrael, our eyes have been compared to these beautiful pools. V'anim shulchu al ha-chachamim. Eyes are always a code word for the Talmidei Chachamim, the Einei Ho'eda, the eyes of the Talmidei Chachamim that are sitting in the Beis HaMikdash, Shehem Einei Ho'eda, L'hoyrosam HaDerech Asher Yelchu Bo, which give guidance to Klal Yisrael what to do, Shehem Ayu Kibrichos Maim HaMashkim Es HaSaganos, they are like pools of water which water the garden. Apech. Okay, so here the Targum, the Mitzudos tells very carefully, Apech means your nose. The reason why the Mitzudos is being forced to translate the word apech as your nose is very simple. Because what comes after the apech? After the apech comes the word roshech, your head. So if we're going to say that apech means... I'm sorry, the other way around. Apech is problematic. Why is translating apech as your nose problematic? Because now the psukim are out of sequence. Because we just mentioned your eyes. We said your neck, the eyes. Eyes are on top of the nose. And now it says nose. So we are out of sequence. This is a major problem. So therefore, Rashi, just keep in mind, is going to reject the Mitzudah stuff for exactly this reason. So you want to make a suggestion. You're saying Alam Neshavart is that the nose begins above the eyes. Okay, the nose, even though the beautiful portion of the nose comes down below, but it begins above, slightly above the eyes. Ein hachinami, that's what we're going to have to do in order to save the Mitzudos David. That's how he interprets the nose. Let's see inside again. Apech, choytmech, your nose. Yeh beyosher nimrots mibli akmimos. A crooked nose. Okay, we're not dealing here with a crooked nose. With the perfection, yosher nimrots, the ultimate perfection. Kimigdal, like a tower. Ho'oymed biyar halavonon, like a tower that stands in the yar halavonon, in the forest of Lebanon. Haroi p'nei damesek, shuhu mimulo. From there you can see Damascus. You can see Damascus from this tower in Lebanon. There was a tower in Lebanon that was tall and straight, and from that tower you can see Damascus. This tower that was known, this is the Derech of the Mitzudah Stavli, always tries to have historical record of what existed at the time when Shlomo HaMelech wrote these psukim. During his time there was a well-known tower in Lebanon, Levanon, and from there you can see Damascus. So now that we've mentioned the eyes, which refers to the Einei, the Talmidei Chachamim, now we're referring to the Shofet, and the Shofet is going to be compared to the nose. Shehu Toyar Pnei Hador, he gives Toyar, he gives form to the Pnei of the Dar. Kichoytem Hazer, like this nose, Shehu Toyar HaParzof, which is the form of the Parzof. Vuhu Yemiyusha B'li Akmimus K'min Hazer, it should be restrained without any crookedness like this tower. He's saying something that is very simple, but yet is forgotten. And that is, the leader sets the tone. The leader of the generation, the president of the United States, whether we realize it or not, we think, what difference does it make who the president is? Anyway, it's a democracy, he's just a representative of the people. It's not so. The moral character of the leader of a politician is a trickle-down effect. Just like the nose is the ikar parts of this, the ikar beauty of the person, the ikar, the uniqueness, the way you can identify a person is primarily through the nose. Their nose adds an enormous amount of tzura to a person. Here, according to the Mitzudos, the nose represents the top. The person who is the shofet, a shofet is equivalent to the melech, they represent the tzura of the generation. There's a beautiful nose, there's a beautiful generation. If the nose is not beautiful, this will have a trickle-down effect on the character and the conduct, the derech of the generation. Okay, so this is the parish of the Mitzudos. Let's run through Rashi just a little, maybe a little bit. Let's see what we can do over here in Rashi. Rashi over here says, Einayich, your eyes. I'm sorry, it's Savarech, your neck. Pasuk Hei Tavarech, your neck. Ahechel v'amizbeach sheheim zukufim begvoim. So what is the, now that we're going to Rashi, we are describing the various parts of the Beis HaMikdash. What is it referred to when it says over here, your neck part of the highest part of the Beis HaMikdash, which is the Mizbeach, that was 10 amos tall, and the Hechel was 100 amos tall. Okay, the Hechel was massive. Okay, the Hechel was massive. Ha'Hechel v'ha'Mizbech Shehima Zukufim v'Gvoyim, period. The Lishkas Hagaz is Gam Hoyasham Asuya L'Choyzek U'L'Mogen K'mid L'Hashen. And what else does this refer to? It refers to another tower, not just in height, but also in moral protection, spiritual protection, was the Lishkas Hagaz with the Sanhedrin sat. Einayich, your eyes. What are the eyes referred to? Kibreichos Hashem B'Cheshboin Ha'Moshchim Mayim with Shua Water. Kain Einayich Shol Shar Basham. Your wise men, Kishahim Yoshim Bishar Yushalayim, Hoir Bas Rabas Rabas Am, and a city which is filled with people profiting from Echa, the Asukim Cheshboin. Now, when it says Cheshboin, according to the Rashi, this is a code word for calculations of the constellations of the stars, the moon, the Oiskim Cheshboin to Kufos Mazolus Chachmosan, Ubinosam, Leene Ha'amim. We know that this is the Chachman, the and the Chachman, the Bin Leene Ha'amim. Moishchois, Kibrechois, Samayim, they flow like streams of water, the Oid Yesh, the forest, another interpretation, Brechos Cheshbon, Kimo Yonim. They're like streams. The streams in Cheshbon, like Yoinim, Loshen Mishnahu, Halokeach Yoinei Shavach. A person that purchases Yoinei Shavach Mafriach Brecha Rishayna, you have to leave over the first brood, because you have to let them. You have to let them survive. When you take birds away from a chicken coop, you're not allowed to take away all the birds because you have to allow the chicken coop to repopulate through one set of birds. So what it means over here that you always, the deeper meaning over here is that your eyes are like brechos b'cheshbon. Brechos b'cheshbon kimo yoinim loshem mishnu hu kemar. Sure, this means maybe we'll leave this for next time. I don't know. We'll leave this for next time. We'll stop over here.